Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy New Year. With 2023 only a few hours old, how does it find you? Perhaps you're a bit tired after staying up to watch the fireworks last night. Or maybe you're introspective, reflecting on the year that has been. You might even be resolute, looking forward to new opportunities this year, with plans already in place to make a difference in your life. Today, at the transition point between 2022 and 23, I encourage you to reflect on both the year past and the year to come, and especially consider how God has been and will continue to be working through your life with you. And today we'll be using our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to help guide our reflections. Reading some of the verses now. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ecclesiastes is a book belonging to the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, along with books such as Proverbs. It was written by someone who calls himself the teacher, as well as son of David and king in Jerusalem, suggesting authorship by King Solomon himself, who was famed for his wisdom. The book opens with poems and prose reflecting on the meaning of life. Solomon reflects on how his life includes both pleasure and toil, and how often each appear equally meaningless. For example, he reflects on his daily work, which can be a burden or an enjoyable challenge. Yet regardless of what a person achieves in life, at some point those achievements must be left to another, who may or may not put them to good use. Similarly, God has made everything beautiful in its time, but beauty can fade or be spoiled. Perhaps most uncomfortably of all, Solomon mentions that God has set eternity in the human heart. All humans have a sense that there is more to life than what we experience, but we can't see the destination or the way to eternity clearly, at least not without God's help. So, like Solomon, we live in tension, a tension between seeing that there is much beauty in the world, yet also much wrong in it too. No doubt you've experienced this tension yourselves in the past year, and not necessarily in equal measure. Maybe you've experienced joy when receiving God's gifts, but also sorrow or guilt when experiencing toil, suffering or failure. This may mean then that you are facing the new year with trepidation, wondering, will I experience more of the same? Will my situation improve as my suffering decreases, or will I lose the good things and the beauty that I currently experience? Such reflections can lead us to be hopeful for the future or fearful instead. Solomon responds to his own reflection on these tensions in life with a poem describing the reality that we live in. This poem, which I read at the start of the sermon, recognizes that there is a time for everything, both positive and negative experiences, and that they are often connected. So, for example, there is time to celebrate the birth of something, but that new life will eventually end, and then there will be a time to mourn its passing too. The poem recognizes that there are times to plant and times to build up, and there are times to uproot or tear down again. There are times to preserve what we have and times to let those things go. But the most important point that Solomon makes is that all these times and seasons are in God's hand. He is the one who creates and brings to an end. He is the one who gives good gifts, but he is also the one who takes them away when they have served his purposes. I wonder how you feel about this revelation, that a God who claims to be good also allows bad things to happen. It may make you uncomfortable, but it's a question that all people wrestle with at some point in their lives, so it's important to explore. Does Solomon's poem make you feel fatalistic? Does the poem make you feel that no matter what you do, no matter what you want in life, God will always have his way? Does it maybe make you feel resentful? How dare God control my life without consulting me? If that is how you feel, and if we're honest, most of us feel like that at some stages in life, you might be surprised by Solomon's conclusion. In verses 12 to 13, he writes, "I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God." In these verses, Solomon is neither fatalistic nor resentful, but he recognizes that everything we have is a gift from God. Since life and everything in life are God's gifts, freely given, not earned, Solomon recognizes that it's of no use for us to be anxious about if and when those gifts will be taken from us. Neither do we have the right to become angry when they are. Rather, Solomon counsels that we should enjoy God's gifts while they last, that we should make the best of what we have, including by sharing those gifts with people less fortunate than ourselves. Now, Solomon's counsel might still seem somewhat fatalistic to us, but it's important to remember that he lived around 3,000 years ago. We who live today are blessed to have a fuller revelation of God's intentions towards humanity and a clearer view of his plans for our future. Through the New Testament in particular, we realize that we don't need to be fatalistic or even simply pragmatic at enjoying what little God blesses us with. Rather, we can recognize that God has our lives safe in his hands, and that even if we can't understand all his decisions, we can trust that he always acts in our best interests. That far from simply throwing us the occasional bone, God acts in our lives to richly bless us. Along with Solomon, we are encouraged to see everything that we have as a gift from God. And that in turn means that we can live each day enjoying the gifts that he gives us. We can find satisfaction in our work, even when it's arduous. And it means that we will want to do good whenever we can, not because God demands it of us, but as an expression of our thankfulness to him. Of course, responding in these ways is not always easy, especially when God allows us to go through challenging seasons. It's not always easy to see God's goodness when we are sick or suffering or caring for somebody who is. It's not easy to enjoy God's gifts when we are feeling guilty or when we are grieving something that we have lost. And we can easily lose hope when our suffering is particularly intense or prolonged. We can be tempted in those moments to think that God has abandoned us or he is maybe even punishing us. So in these difficult circumstances, how do we persevere in faith? How do we find satisfaction in the times and seasons that God has sent us? How do we trust that God is acting in our best interests when appearances are to the contrary? I have three suggestions for you, taken from our other readings for today. The first is to remind ourselves that God truly does love us and value us. The second is to remind ourselves that our suffering, although real, is limited and temporary. And the third is to remember that God gives us support during times of suffering. Looking at that first point in more depth, Psalm 8 shows us that God really does love and value us human beings, surprisingly so. The psalmist says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." Psalm 8 shows that despite God being the powerful creator of a vast universe, that he takes a personal interest in little you and little me. We are not just another number to him, nor are we simply a face in the crowd, but he created and knows each and every one of us personally. We see evidence of that most clearly in the birth of God's Son, which we celebrated last week. God knew that we humans, when faced with a being so much greater than ourselves, would struggle to trust that he really does love us. And so God chose to become one of us. He sent Jesus to take on a human body, to personally talk about and demonstrate his love for us. If Jesus went to all that trouble of incarnation for us, not to mention being willing to die on a cross to erase the guilt of our failures, we can be confident that God really does have our best interests at heart, even if we struggle to understand him, even when his ways are often alien to us. That means that even when God allows us to experience seasons of suffering, we can be assured that he still loves us as much as at those times as when things are going well for us. The Apostle Paul sums it up like this from Romans chapter 8. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Often when we are in the midst of suffering, we can't see the good God is working. But later, in hindsight, we can see how that particular season of suffering helped grow us. It might have grown us by strengthening our faith, or helping us to better appreciate the things that we have. Or suffering may have helped us to better empathize with and support others who are going through similar challenges. And you may very well recognize some of these things have happened in your own life as you reflect on the year just passed. The second point our readings make is that even if we can't understand why God allows us to suffer, our suffering will have an end. In fact, not only will our suffering have an end, but it will be replaced with joy. We see that promise, for example, in Revelation chapter 21, where the Apostle John describes this beautiful vision of heaven. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" As much as we hate to suffer now, our suffering will end. And as St. Paul reminds us, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Our suffering here on earth does not define us or have the last word. The third and final reminder is that we don't need to struggle through life alone. Rather, God gives us family, friends and Christian community to support us through the various seasons of life. And when things are going well for us, we can take the opportunity to do good for others in turn. As our gospel reading from Matthew 25 reminds us, doing good doesn't need to be unusual or extravagant. It can be as simple as giving the hungry food, the thirsty drink, the stranger welcome, the naked clothing, the sick care, and the lonely company. In this new year of 2023, I encourage you to find meaning in your life by walking with God. Enjoy his gifts. Remind yourself of his goodness when times are tough, and take opportunities when they arrive to help others and to build up your community. Then, like Solomon, you will find satisfaction in life regardless of the season. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And God promises to be with you in every time and season of this coming year. He has your best interests at heart. He will be with you through the pleasure and the toil of this temporary life until you celebrate eternal life with him in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.